Hello there, and welcome to another new episode of Jawa Jabber, and welcome to 2024. Wow, I gotta admit, I never thought that I'd be saying hello there, everyone. Welcome to 2024. It just sounds so futuristic, and now it's not because it's here. I don't know. What do you think, Kyle? Hi, Kyle. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How's it going?
I'm all right. How are you, buddy? Obviously having obviously having some kind of a crisis here because I can't believe it's 2024.
Yeah, I don't know. When you're like 2018, that was like 2 or 3 years ago. No, it was 6 years ago.
Right. No, it was right. Exactly, dude. Like, it's crazy. I don't know. But yes, so thank you guys for spending a little bit of your new year with us here at Jawa Jabber. I am, of course, your supreme leader, David Wren, and I am joined by my best friend and bro host, Kai Nobi. Matt the Radar Tech and Dennis the Phantom Menace cannot make it this evening, and that is okay, because we're still going to talk some Star Wars. So tonight we're going to talk about basically just a recap of 2023, as it is the new year, and it is a time to reflect. So it was a big year for Star Wars. It was a big year for Jawa Jabber. It was, it was a big year in general. Kyle, what about your holidays? How was your holidays? Let's catch up for a minute. Did you do anything fun?
They were great. Yeah, I spent the holiday week with my nephews. I've seen all three of my nephews' first Christmas, which is an honor.
Awesome. I love being the fun uncle. Oh, that's great.
The self-proclaimed fun uncle.
Nice.
My nephew,
okay.
my brothers, they're all into the same stuff for the most part. So watched a lot of movies, had a lot of fun, built a lot of Legos, all the fun things in life. How about you?
Oh, the Legos, dude. They are the bane of my existence. Even the Star Wars Legos can't get me into it. Like, it's terrible. Like, I'm just so, I don't want to say that I don't have patience, because I do, but like, I don't know. There's something, it just takes me too long to build Legos. I don't know. They drive me nuts. But no, I did help Jackson a little bit build some Legos. And nice. Then we're in the process of finding all of his advent calendar from this year. He opened every day and we built every day. Speaking of Lego, you need to do better with your instructions on your advent calendars. You know, for some of maybe our older generations that might be doing it, I guess the kids can figure it out with just a picture, but you know, some of your, some of us that might be the same age as Return of the Jedi, you know, we're not as good with just a picture. So, you know, Lego, if you're listening, please, you know, give us some more of a directions with your advent calendars next year. But yeah, no, Christmas was good. We wrapped up the show, Christmas Carol and Elf, which is also what kind of, you know, stopped us from recording a little bit, but that's okay. We're gonna keep on moving in 2024. We got a lot of content coming, and let's just talk about 2023 in review. How does that sound, buddy?
Perfect with me.
All right, cool. So obviously first on the list was gonna be Mando season 3. You know, The Mandalorian season 3, it premiered in March, right?
Yep.
It was like March. Yeah, like March 1st, right?
Yeah, something like that. So, actually.
Yeah, it was somewhere around that. I don't know. If you want our full thoughts on The Mandalorian season 3, you should check out our individual episodes, which you will find back in our episode queue. But yeah, Kyle, what about I know there's been a lot of talk about Mandalorian season 3, but like, do you have any like personal highlights of yours? Like anything that you like specifically enjoyed, maybe?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of like world building, history building with the Mandalore. Filled in some gaps, maybe not as many as I was hoping for, but I enjoyed seeing the mines, what those looked like. That's something we've all been wondering for a while. Seeing the Mythosaur in live action was great. A lot of great character development for Bo. I like Peter Ramsey's episode a lot, where they were on Navarro and seeing him take down the pirates. That was a really good episode.
That was a fantastic episode.
Yeah, there were a lot of things to like, a lot of things I didn't like. But it was a pretty good start to the year. Got a lot of conversation flowing for a few weeks. I thought it was a solid show overall.
Yeah, I agree. I liked, like you said, the Mandalorian world building. And the Mandalore. I thought it was kind of funny how, they kept, talking about retaking Mandalore, and then, they, Gideon had his base on Mandalore. I thought that was kind of cool. I really, of course, a personal highlight for me was at Celebration with you and Matt and our buddy Dan, and we got to watch, it was episode 7, right? We got the special screening of episode 7. That was really cool on the big screen, and that was just, and we had watched it the day before. We had watched episode 6. And then the convention started on Thursday, and we had the screening on Thursday night. So we got 2 Mando episodes in like a 24-hour period. And that was, of course, one of my highlights, not just being with you guys, but, seeing and Celebration is just a topic in itself that we'll talk briefly about. But we also have a full recap episode available in our previous episodes of Jawa Jabber. So, the catch line for 2024 is listen to Jawa Jabber. You're going to love us. So join in the fun.
What are you hoping to see from Mando season 4, since we're at least a year or so out from it?
Oh, I know. Right. Like, it's not even going to be in 2024.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's no, yeah. Cause they haven't even filmed or anything yet. So, it's weird because as much as I love the world building and the the character development and the kind of serialized nature of TV shows and such, I do kind of miss the season 1 feeling of The Mandalorian, where it was more of a week by week kind of thing, where it wasn't as connected to the galaxy. One of the things, and I believe we've talked about this in our group chat, but I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast, like, one of the things I really liked about Solo was the low stakes of it, like the entire and not that it wasn't high stakes for not that it wasn't high stakes for Han and Chewie and all them, but like the galaxy was not necessarily in peril in that movie. I mean? Like, we were focused on Han and Chewie and all them, and like the Raiders and all that stuff. And, yes, the Empire was out there, but that wasn't the focus of the movie. And I personally kind of liked that. And I felt that Mando did a good job with that in season 1. But at the same time, I love all the stuff with Coruscant and Alaya Kane and, Dr. Pershing. Like, that whole episode I loved, and I got to tell them that at New York City Comic Con, and that was pretty cool. So I guess I'm just hoping for... No, you know what I'm hoping for in season 4? I am hoping for more episodes. I don't just want 8 episodes. I am greedy. I am a greedy Star Wars fan, and I want more is what I want.
It's a fair point. It's a fair point.
I want more. And I'm not talking, we have to go back to when I was a teenager, when it was like 22 episodes a season. I'm not saying you have to do that, but like, and I'm going to say it, there's precedence in Star Wars because Andor has 12 episodes. Give us 12 episodes. Give us 10. I'll be happy with 10. 12, 13 would be better. But like, give us, I don't know. Give us more. There we go. That's what I'm going to say. Give us more.
Yeah. I think I'm in the same vein. I would I would even be fine with 12 30-minute episodes if that's what it took, because I know everybody gets upset about the run times, but the shorter episodes of Mando especially tend to be the better ones.
They tend to be they're more like the pacing's better. Definitely, I agree.
Shows that really did the 45 to 50 minute range ones are Ahsoka for the most part. Like episode 5 was really well done. I think episode 4 was around 40 minutes.
True.
But I didn't care for any of the longer Kenobi episodes, especially the finale. And then Boba Fett, like none of like the finale was way too long. So I think with Mando and that universe and the bounty hunters and the serialized storytelling, I think those really excel with the shorter run times. But I think if I have one hope for season 4, it's just the audience can handle more. Like they don't need all the silly gimmicks and the almost like there's a lack of stakes in some points. There's no romance for the most part at all. One thing I think the Clone Wars did very well is the target audience was probably anyone from ages like 10 to 13 when it first started. And then by the time it ended, most of the people had already graduated high school who started watching it or were into college or beginning their adult life. The show matured with the audience as it went along. And I think that's something Mando hasn't really done yet. I mean, it started off more mature than Clone Wars, obviously. It wasn't a kid's show, but Star Wars is still aimed towards kids, and I think each show needs to do a better job of maturing with the audience as it grows.
I like that. That is a valid point, and very self-reflective, because weren't you around 10 or 12 when Clone Wars came out?
Yeah, I was 10 when Clone Wars came out, and then by the time it like officially wrapped up and 2020, I mean, I was 22 years old, so.
Right. I'm just, you know, we got to start 2024, right? And I got to bust on you about your age, buddy. It's something that we do in every episode. Some things will never change. No, exactly.
That's okay.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, during Mando Season 3, obviously, Star Wars Celebration happened. Me, you, Matt, and our buddy Dan went to London, England, to meet up with Samantha Elaine, our dear friend, who has also been in many a Star Wars project. And, you know, we had an awesome time across the pond, as they say. And we got to see some Mando episodes. We got to at 9 o'clock in the morning. That was so nice. Like, it wasn't 3 a.m. It was so cool. Personally, I liked that.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that. It like, you know, we woke up, you and Matt went to the gym. I just kind of snored a lot. And then, you know, we like you guys came back and we woke up and we watched Mando and it was awesome. Yeah. And then you had a pretty significant life event happen in London, did you not?
I think so. Yeah.
You don't want to elaborate on that a little bit?
No, I did get engaged for those of you who kept up on social media. It was a great time. A great time had by all. So, and it was nice to celebrate that with you guys.
It was so cool. I remember when you initially texted me and Matt and was like, "Hey, so I'm thinking about doing this." And we were like, "Oh my god." It was cool to be a part of. It just added to the trip. That trip was so much fun. And I know I keep saying about it, but like when we went to New York City Comic Con, like it was fun, but it wasn't celebration. Like I personally drank the Kool-Aid. I love celebration. Anyone that's been listening to this show since its inception with just me and Dennis, you know, knows that I am a celebration fanboy. I love it. I'm hoping to get to Japan. I'm not definitively saying I'm going to get to Japan because, I mean, I just don't know. It's a huge trip, you know, and the way it's been, who knows if I'll even get a ticket. Like, you know, I almost didn't get a ticket for London. Oh, that was like the worst day of my life because you and Matt had your tickets. And I'm still in the waiting room. I'm like, guys, I'm not going to be able to go. I'm not going to be able to go. I'm not going to be able to go. Matt's like, David, you're fine. It's going to be fine. And I'm like, no, it's not. Like, I'm not going to get to go. You know. But Anyway. Yeah,
the force has its wills. No pun intended.
Exactly. So yes, if the force wants me to go to Japan, then, you know, I will. But yeah, one of the big things to come out of Star Wars Celebration 2023 and that we got to witness was the major movie announcements. There were three major movie announcements, one being the culmination Mandoverse movie directed by Dave Filoni. The one about the new Jedi Order, which is, of course, starring Daisy Ridley, and they brought her out on stage, and I know that was a cool moment for me, and I remember I was wearing my Rey lightsaber Enso ring that day, so I was, like, all freaking out. I'm like, yeah, it's the Force at work. I'm wearing Rey's ring, and, you know, like, whatever. And it was funny, because I was so excited about, like, the Ahsoka stuff that was coming out at that panel and everything, that, like, the Rey announcement totally caught me off guard, but like in a really great way. Like, I was completely not expecting it, and then I looked down and I happened to have that ring on, and I was like, oh, no way, that's amazing. Like, I'm surprised I didn't wear the Ahsoka ring that day, but I guess I wore that the next day for the Ahsoka panel. So, and that would, yeah, and in my, you know, ADD outfits have to kind of match kind of way, I guess that's where my brain was. And then there's that other movie about the Dawn of the Jedi, which is going to be, like, I believe the first Jedi, right?
Yeah,
like it's going to, right? Yeah, I'm interested in
if they all get made.
You don't think they're going to get made?
I don't know. I think the new Jedi Order one's safe. That's supposed to start filming, I think, February or April this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it's April.
Yeah, something like that.
And yeah. Charmin Obaid-Chinoy, the director, tweeted something today about it, I think.
Okay.
Excited for a female to kind of craft the next era in the galaxy. Because it's the first time a female has directed a movie. We've had tons of female directors on the Disney Plus series, but never for a movie before, so that's exciting.
But never for a movie,
So, but I mean, as far as like the new Jedi Order one, I think that's up to James Mangold. I mean, he directed Dial of Destiny, which was not a commercial success by any means. I thought it was a fine movie. I know Matt and Dan are huge fans. I enjoyed it for what it was. I thought it was a fitting end to the saga. But again, Disney is very kind of like hyper reactive to the box office. So if a director is tied to a bond under their studio, who's to say it's going to actually get made or not? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. You're right. And I don't know. You know by now, I'm an optimist. I always believe the best and, you know, sometimes prepare for the worst, but I tend to still think on the more positive aspects of things. And like, I don't like when they react like that. Like, I understand it's a business and I understand the thought process behind it, but I feel like sometimes you almost react too soon. Does that make sense? Like, you know, if you're going to commit to something, I mean, look at the early 2000s. They made so many movies that were not successes, and they just like that John Wick movie. Not John Wick. Oh my God, what is it? It was Taylor Kittish, and it was like some Disney sci-fi something or other. It's escaping me now, and if I knew I was going to go off on this tangent, I would have prepared
movie?
Something like that. And then like the Jake Gyllenhaal Prince of Persia thing, like, yeah. That was you know, like, they made all these big budget movies, and like, I mean, granted, they had Pirates of the Caribbean and they had all these other successes, but like, you know, they didn't just cancel a bunch of movies because they had a bunch of flops. You know what I mean? Like they,
John
especially
Carter. John Carter.
Thank you. Yes, John Carter, not John Wick. John Wick is our boy Keanu, yeah, Darth Revan, you know, as fan casted. So, yeah, no, I just I don't like when they react like that so suddenly. You know, it breeds into. It, all right, I don't want to get on a sandbox here, but like, it kind of reminds me of like the whole cancel culture thing, and I don't. Yeah. You know, I just I don't appreciate that. I don't like that. I feel like I know it's a big corporate conglomerate and whatever, but you know me, at my heart, I'm a Disney kid. So I like to think that Disney is better than that. So I like to hope that. Yeah, go ahead, bud.
No, I was gonna say I think the lack of investment beyond like the financial means, I guess, is where they're going wrong. Like, think about, like, mm-hmm. Thor. I know you're, like, sort of into Marvel, sort of not, but Thor Ragnarok...
I mean, I was.
Ragnarok would not have had the impact it had if the second movie wasn't awful and the first movie wasn't, like, kind of mixed. You know what I mean?
That's true.
In terms of the reception.
That's so, very true, and
huge,
yes.
And it was a huge box office hit. I mean, it did a lot for Marvel, did a lot for Thor's character. It got Chris Hemsworth back into it when he was probably going to walk away.
Right.
I think, yeah, I don't know. And of course, no one from Disney will ever listen, but they also need to figure out how, and I'm going to get on sandbox, they need to figure out how to make these movies cheaper this year,
yes!
Especially with Gareth Edwards making The Creator for under $100 million. That underperformed so badly, and it like really hurt my heart because that was such a good movie. And then Godzilla Minus One. I mean, I've seen that twice, and I just saw it a few days ago, and this is almost right. A month after release, and the theater was packed. Like, it was completely sold out. And that movie was made for less than $15 million. So
I think that's awesome.
Disney needs to focus on smaller scale stories that they can make on a budget and just give it to a creator that's hungry. Like, that's the first thing I thought of when Godzilla Minus One came out, and I walked to the theater. I'm like, that was an excellent story. It was the first time I cared about any of the human characters in any Godzilla kaiju movie ever. And that guy, the director, wants to make a Star Wars movie. Like, give it to somebody who's hungry, who wants to make movies and stories that he cares about or she cares about, and let them ride. You know what I mean? Just invest in it. Because making $100 million off a $10 million movie is a lot better than trying to break even off a $250 movie, you know?
Yeah, because especially when you get... you know, those big, what do they call them? Tentpole movies, right? Like,
yeah.
and then you, like, not only do you spend $200 million on the movie, but then you spend like $100 million on advertising, you know? So like, you already,
that, yeah.
Right. Exactly. I was going to say, I know I'm being a little conservative with that, but like, yeah, it's crazy the amount of money they spent. And then, all right. So this kind of leads to our next topic, because you're talking about people being hungry. And I think Ahsoka is a great example of this. Like, you know, Ahsoka is Dave Filoni's baby. You know, he created the character with George Lucas in the Clone yeah. Wars. There was just, I'm not saying the show was perfect, okay? Like, I personally loved it. I believe it's my, I'm going to cautiously say it's my favorite out of all the Disney Plus series is, and no, not just because of episode 5. I swear to you, not just because of episode 5. But like, there was so much heart in it, and there was so much, like, I saw, like, as a viewer and as a Star Wars fan, I saw the love behind the scenes come out on screen. Does that make any kind of sense? Like,
yeah, I agree.
Like it's just like I could tell that like Filoni had full control and that he was very intuitive and he was very like into it. And he was like, all right, I'm going to frame this shot here and I'm going to do this here. And like, you know, like Rosario, I want you to turn your head just this way. You know what I mean? Like there was so much nuance to it. And some fans have their issues with it. I'm personally happy that to see a lot of blogs and stuff like really enjoy Ahsoka, and I don't know, I want more of that. I want more, like, I want Jon Favreau to get a little bit of love from Dave Filoni with Mando season four. Like, you know, like put the love in it, because actually I kind of feel like season one and season two had that of Mando, and season three was just lacking a little bit in that. I don't know. I could be wrong. I could be reaching. I could have just loved Ahsoka so much.
I agree. With Mando season three, I didn't get the feeling I did with, like, when you watch the behind the scenes for season one and two, you're like, my God, like, Favreau just loves Star Wars. He loves all the nuances, the intricacies, the small things, the Easter eggs. Like, he loves all that stuff, and he likes expanding on it. In season three, I didn't really get that feel.
No, I didn't either. And I don't know if they were too focused on story, maybe, like, with Mandalore and, you know, I mean, maybe it's because they only had eight episodes and they had all this story. I mean, you know, I don't know.
I don't know. The thing is, this is probably one of those classic, like, age-old examples of expanding too far too fast, because, I mean, they brought Rick on as an executive producer, and Rick is a very talented filmmaker.
Right.
But Favreau's busy. I mean, they're adding skeleton crew to the mix. Dave is writing Ahsoka, fully on board with Ahsoka. I think I just didn't really get, like, the love of Star Wars through for Mando season three, in my opinion.
Okay.
But in Ahsoka, we totally got it. I love the show. I'd probably give it, like, an 8 out of 10 if I had to rate it. I don't know if it's better than Mando season one or two. I think it's, I'd probably put it on the same, like, echelon as Mando season two. But the more I rewatch it, I see it as a prelude to what's coming, rather than its own standalone story.
That's one of my only criticisms, not criticisms about it, but, like, it's setting up so much, like, it's hard for it to be on its own, kind of, you know, like,
yeah, I think
the
pacing was an issue for me because of that. Episode one was very well paced. It was a slow burn. It heated up in episode two. Episode three was shorter, but it was a nice little bridge to episode four and what's coming with the whole Baylan and Ahsoka conflict. Mm-hmm. And then episode five was almost like its own story. The plot outside of Ahsoka didn't develop in that. And as great as that episode was, it's probably the best Disney Plus series episode. Because it kind of broke the pacing. And then it's like, oh, wait, here we go. We're right, boots on the ground. We're in a new galaxy, episode six. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, yeah, I remember feeling underwhelmed with episode six, you know, with, like, the search for Ezra and, you know, Sabine down on the planet and stuff. And it's like, it's not that it was a bad episode. It's not that it was badly paced or anything like that. But, like, the episode five was so good. And, like, personally, it was just emotional, and, you know, Ahsoka and Anakin together again, and, like, I just, like, for me, it was just so much, and, like, the fan event, going to see it in the theater, and, like, the whole, like, hype of it and whatever, and I got my tattoo the same week, so, like, that week for me was, like, amazing. It was fantastic. It was the best week that I could have turned 40, because I did not... You know, I did not stress about turning 40 because I was too busy loving Star Wars and being in it. And yeah, the only thing that would have been better is if it had happened while I was at Celebration. But, you know, no, yeah. Like it totally worked out. Like, and yeah, like, I just remember being a little bit let down with episode six. So, but it was because episode five was so emotional and so, like, so personally satisfying, like, to me. So
yeah, I agree with that. I think it kind of broke up the pacing of the show a little bit.
And I can see that. Now that you mentioned that, I didn't personally think that, but now that you say that, I can totally see where it does. But again, personally, me, I don't care because I loved it so much.
But I
see, like, as a filmmaker, I do see what you're saying. Yeah, like, I can see how it breaks up the pacing, and yeah, but
overall, it's an incredible show. I still love it. I find myself watching the first five episodes a lot more than the last three, even though there are great moments in the last three. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Oh, even with the finale, I loved the finale. Oh, I know.
No, I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's such a shame.
Rewatch it.
It's such a shame. It's such a shame about Ray. Yeah. Like,
yeah, he's an incredible performer. So
I know, and like that character is so intriguing, and I know a lot of it is the performance, because, like, I don't want to say this as a criticism, but like, he's not in it that much. You know what I mean? Like if you were to take the 8 episodes, like the run times of all of them, I wouldn't even say he's in like a full episode, like, you know, like a half hour to 40 minutes worth of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, but he made such an impact, not only on the story, but like on the screen, like, you know, like he walked on screen and you wanted to watch him. You know what I mean? Like, he was very imposing. He like, and the way he spoke, like, I just, I don't know, like, I was so enthralled with that character, and I think it's a testament to Ray's performance, and it's just such a shame that we're not going to get to see him continue that character's journey.
Yeah, I agree. He's very commanding on screen, and it's hard not to watch. On to happier things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I... All right, season 2. When are we getting season 2?
Honestly, the fact that we've heard nothing from Lucasfilm in the fourth quarter of the year is crazy. Besides, I mean, when did Ahsoka end? Like, beginning of October? We heard nothing the rest of the month, November or December, at all. So I really hope that they're geared up for something big. I would love to see, like, a gallery episode for Ahsoka drop, and then an announcement for season 2. The actors want it. I mean, Iman is fine. He's practically.
Oh yeah, we never got the gallery episode, did we?
No, we haven't.
See, there's been so many. There's been so many behind the scenes videos that have dropped since the strike happened. I just assumed some of them came from. You know what I mean? Like, I'm assuming that I already watched the gallery, and no, I didn't, because you're right.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I think a season 2 is imminent. I just hope that we get some kind of, not closure, but just an answer on what the future of the Mandoverse looks like, because we need to hear something. And they've been lacking a lot of communication to the fandom. So
do you think partially that's because of the strike?
The strike's been over for 2 months. So,
well, yeah, but
that really a factor at this point, you know what I mean? They could have been working on it the entire time, but they filmed those interviews during the show. Like, they're in costume filming those interviews for the gallery. So,
right. I mean, as far as like a season 2 announcement and stuff like that, like, maybe they're, I don't know. I don't know. You're right. They've been a little silent, and it is kind of strange. Like, normally, even though, I mean, I don't know, I feel like November, December, when there's not a movie coming out, which hasn't been since 2019, I feel like it has been a little slower. I mean, we got Mando season 2, the end of 2020. We got Book of Boba Fett, the beginning, that very last week of December 2021. And then we had it the beginning of 2022. So, like, I mean, I don't know. I just, you're right. They've been a little quiet. I wish they would just give us a season 2. Because
I'm trying to figure out what they're going to do with the storyline.
Because what I don't want to happen, I don't want it shoehorned into, like, say, Skeleton Crew or like Mando season 4. Like, remember how, like, Mando kind of took over Book of Boba Fett? Like, as cool as that episode is, and actually that episode with him and Ahsoka and Grogu and Luke and everything is one of my most rewatched Disney Plus series episodes. Like, you know, it definitely broke the pacing of Book of Boba Fett. Like, and yes, it made it interconnected, but I don't know. It left a bad taste in my mouth. Like, that should have been. I go back to that initial morning, and me texting Dennis like, yo, why are we watching Mando season 3? Like, what happened to Book of Boba Fett? Did Disney upload the wrong show? I really thought that until it said Book of Boba Fett. I'm like, what? I'm like, they completely uploaded the wrong show. Like, this is insane.
Yeah, a lot of people thought the same thing.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it was just a little jarring. So, like, I feel like that's been a criticism of specifically Book of Boba Fett. So I would like to think that since they are so reactive and stuff, that they wouldn't do that again. But, you know, you would hope, but you never know. And I'm sorry, give Iman his own show. Give him a talk show. Give him an Ezra spinoff. Make him the lead in the Heir to the Empire movie. Like, he is one of the best things to come out of Star Wars ever. I completely love him. I liked Rebels. I can't say that I... No, because I love it now. But, like, when it first aired, I liked it. But, like, Ezra was never one of my favorite characters. I liked Taylor Gray, like, when I saw him in interviews and stuff. And, like, I thought he was a really cool guy. And, like, I saw him speak at, I believe, Chicago Celebration. Maybe it was Anaheim. I don't remember. It was one of the two. It wasn't London. But, like, I saw him in, like, a panel or something. And, like I really liked him. And, like, but like, Ezra, like, I was more drawn to, like, Kanan. And then when Ahsoka came in, like, of course it was all Ahsoka and Vader and that whole, like that was more of the draw to Rebels to me than, like, say Ezra was. But, like, Iman blew me away and made me fall in love with Ezra Bridger. Like, even though he has to shave his beard, oh my God, like, it's terrible. Like, and I know he was, you know, in a distant galaxy for how long was it? 10 years, 9 years, 8 years, something like that.
8 or 9, I would say.
Eight or nine. Okay. But, like, the distant galaxy doesn't have a shaver.
I'm sure he trimmed the beard at some point.
Well, they had, like, but, like, look at his face, dude. You can't put a beard on that face. Like he's one of those pretty boys. Hayden would not look right with a beard. I'm sorry. Like, Anakin would not look right with a beard. And I feel like Ezra's in the same boat. That's my own personal opinion. Not that Iman didn't pull off the beard, but no, I give Ezra his own show, give Iman a talk show, and shave the beard. That is 2024 in a nutshell, Lucasfilm. Thank you. You can give me credit, make me an executive producer, whatever you want to do. I really appreciate it. But yes, we love Ahsoka. So another thing I want to talk about real quick is maybe some things that we didn't necessarily connect to, because, you know, we connected so much to Ahsoka and Mando. But I'm specifically thinking of some other big projects that came out in 2023, and I feel like we should at least mention them, even if they're not our favorites. We've got Bad Batch season 2, Visions season 2, The Young Jedi Adventures, which I have watched with my nephew, and I have to admit it's kind of adorable. I haven't watched every episode. But it's at, like, I think it's interesting because, so, Jackson, my nephew, Jackson Tyler Anakin, yes, is his name. He really enjoyed it, and I only watched a couple episodes. I like what they're doing with the show. I mean, it's not serialized. It's totally just a bunch of Jedi, like, running around and getting trained, and Yoda shows up to, like, train them and stuff. But there's this one character named Nubs, who is, like, the blue furry guy. I don't even know. I should have looked this up. Sorry, audience. But, like, I don't even know what kind of alien he is, but he is the cutest freaking thing. Like, he is, in my opinion, he's right up there with Grogu, with the Porgs. like the Ewoks, like just the cutest thing. And like, I bought his ornament this year to put on my tree, Nubs, because Nubs had to be on my Star Wars tree because I just thought he was really cute. So,
nice.
Yeah. And I'll fully admit I did not watch any of Visions season two. Did you watch any of it, Kyle?
Yeah, Visions is one of those shows that I really enjoy. I think I binged it all when it came out. I did the same thing with.
Oh, did you really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was,
nice.
It was great. I love how studio brings a different style to it, a different kind of storytelling craft. Yeah, no, Visions is great. There's definitely room for some of the episodes to become full series.
Oh, really? Oh, that's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah. So I watched some of Bad Batch. I did not finish it. Much like season one, I kind of powered through season one, and then the finale of season one grabbed me with the whole Kamino getting destroyed and stuff. Again, you know, you pinch at my prequel heartstrings and it's going to happen. So like, I was really excited for season two, and then it didn't grab me. It personally didn't grab me. I did watch, because they were hyping it up, the episode where like they decommissioned the clones or whatever, and Ian McDermott did Palpatine's voice for the episode. Like that was really good. Like I thought that was really fan, but again, pulling at my prequel heartstrings, like that's what got me to watch the episode. So it's one of those, I'm going to go back and watch it at some point. Now, after you mentioned it, I might have to give Visions a try. I did watch a few season one episodes. Like there was that one with the twins or something, like something about twins. I enjoyed that one. I liked the umbrella lightsaber guy. I thought he looked kind of cool, like with the spinny 27 lightsabers or whatever. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a General Grievous umbrella kind of thing. And this sounds terrible. I don't like anime. I'm not an anime fan. I had just missed Pokemon when it came out. Like I was just too old for Pokemon when it first came out. So like I never grew attached to Pokemon, like, you know, and all those other ones. Like a lot of my friends really love anime and like have tried to get me in it. And then I think I even joked with you guys, if anything was going to get me into anime, it was going to be Star Wars and Visions. But it just, I don't know, it just hasn't grabbed me. I remember seeing the trailer for season two at Celebration, and I thought it looked really good. But again, what does Star Wars do best other than bring people together? Trailers. The Star Wars trailers are the best around, and no one can convince me otherwise. So, you know, and I'm talking Lucasfilm sanctioned trailers. I'm talking fan made trailers, like those modern trailers for all the prequels and stuff like that they do. Like I go in my endless YouTube rabbit holes of like Star Wars trailers, and I just get happy. Like, remember I sent you guys that commercial today? In the group chat. I love that commercial. It kills me. And I don't know. And it's weird because so for our listeners, and I shared it on our Facebook page. So hopefully you guys can go to our Facebook page and watch this commercial for a store called Kaufland, I believe. And they're German. And it's just this little boy who likes Star Wars, and he has a crush on a girl that he meets at a grocery store, which is the store that the commercial is for. And you know, so like he comes over like around Christmas in like a stormtrooper outfit to give her like a little note or whatever. And then she shows up on Christmas Day in a Princess Leia costume. And it's like, oh my God, it's so cute. And it makes me cry. And like, it just, for some reason, even though it's like a little boy and a little girl falling in love, it just, it reminds me of meeting you guys at Celebration and like us coming together and forming this podcast and talking every day in the group chat. And I like it just, 'cause it's what, at its best, Star Wars brings people together. And it happened to me, it happened to us. It just, I got emotional, and I'm sorry. It's what I do. It's kind of what I do. I just get emotional. And I'm not, but that's okay.
Before we move on, yeah, Bad Batch, I watched all of season two. I watched them for the most part the morning they came out. And I hate to say this because everybody behind it is so talented, but it almost felt like a chore to keep up with it at some points, because for every great episode, and there are some episodes where they're like peak Star Wars, like it's very good, very good storytelling, there are two absolute unwatchable episodes, in my opinion. And it's horrible to say that because the animation is so stellar. The writing is pretty great for the most part. It's just, I can't connect with the characters, and no matter how much I try. And even like Omega, is a great character, but just doesn't resonate with me very much.
I was going to ask your opinion about Omega, because I'm having trouble connecting with her as well. And I like, it's not the actress's fault. It's not the animation's fault. Like, it's not like, I don't know. I'm just I'm not sure.
Her story is compelling enough. I don't see her character's been through a lot, but just the way her story's progressing hasn't done enough for me. And I get she's maturing a lot, but again, it's there's plenty of people who love Bad Batch, and I'm so happy for them. That's right. Great. It's just, there's so much Star Wars out there, so it's okay for me to say that's just not my cup of tea. That's where I think a lot of people
absolutely
kind of fail as fans. Like they kind of like shoehorn everything into their interest and think, man, I gotta like everything, and if I don't, I gotta hate on it really hard. Like it's okay, you can move on.
Right.
There's plenty of Star Wars. There's gonna be something you like. You don't need to enjoy everything, and Bad Batch is just not my thing, and that's fine.
Right, exactly. And I remember, I kind of feel the same way, minus the hatred. Like I was never like, oh my god, I gotta hate on it. But like when Visions season one first came out, like I watched it and I was like, this isn't really my thing, but it's Star Wars. I have to like this. Like it, you know, like it took me a little while to kind of be like, all right. And part of it was talking to you guys, and Kyle, you've said that forever, like about how there's so much Star Wars now and you don't have to like it all and yada, yada, yada. And it's totally true. And then they proved it again with Andor. Now, like on a rewatch, which I did successfully rewatch Andor, and I enjoyed it more the second time around, but it's not, like, I guess I'm too much of a Jedi. I don't know. Like, I like the lightsabers. I like the more flashy. I mean, look at my clothing choices. I don't like the subtle Star Wars clothes like you and Matt do. You know, I like the in-your-face Roosevelt shirts. Yes, I love Star Wars. I'm a nerd. You know, like, whatever. Like, I don't know. Like, and it's not that Andor's bad. Like, that scene, the scene I'm talking about in Andor, the guy, I can't even think of his name. How do I host a Star Wars podcast? I can't even think of his name. The Stellan Skarsgård. His character, like, you know, that speech he gives that guy, you know, that was one of the best written speeches in Star Wars, you know, and it was fantastic and phenomenal to watch. But, you know, like the show in general is just not my thing. And that's why, like, you know, like you said, not all Star Wars, you know, you don't have to like everything that Star Wars puts out. And that's why I wanted to mention, you know, Bad Batch season two and Visions and Young Jedi Adventures. you know, because they were big happenings in 2023. Just like for our gaming friends, we had Jedi Survivor, which by all accounts and purposes is a fantastic game. I have not personally played it. Have you played it, Kyle?
Yeah, I think I got 3/4 of the way through, 60% of the way through.
Okay.
But I think one of those things where like it's just not really my thing. I enjoy right. a lot of the gameplay. The fighting is great. It's just I'm not a fan of the whole Uncharted thing, like all the
mystery
and the puzzles. It's just it's too much. I can't.
I agree. I'm an old school Mario Brothers kind of game. You know what I mean? Like the way back, and I'm dating myself, but like the Super Nintendo games, the Super Star Wars, Super Empire Strikes Back, and Super Return of the Jedi. Those were my jam. Those were my games. Those were my, you know, and of course I love the Lego games, but again, you have to put the puzzles together, and that's where it starts losing me a little bit.
Yeah. I watched all the cutscenes for the parts that I didn't play, and they're great. I mean,
I was going to say, I did do that. Yeah. It's very cool. And I love,
The gameplay is just too much for me.
Yeah. And I love Cam, and I love the character of Cal Kestis. Actually, a friend of mine at the theater does a pretty cool cosplay of him. And nice. I forget what convention he went to, but he had like the wrong saber. And I texted him and I said, dude, you should have told me I have his saber. He's like, oh, no way. Really? I'm like, yeah, I got it from Disney. Like, I would have let you borrow it. He's like, oh, OK, next time I go, I'm totally going to do that. I'm like, yeah, man. I'm like, you got to complete the costume. I think it was funny. He posted a picture. He had like Vader's saber or something. And I'm like, what? I'm like, that ain't right. I'm like, come on. If you're going to cosplay. But yeah, so real quick before we wrap up, 2023 was also a big anniversary for Return of the Jedi. It was the 40th anniversary of the film's release in May. They had it back in theaters for about 2 weeks, which was very cool for me. Me and one of our listeners, Robert, went to go see it, and that was phenomenal. He was also he's my Star Wars buddy who he went to the Ahsoka fan screening with me also. So shout out to you, Robert. You're phenomenal. I thought it was really cool. I love these Disney Plus series, and I love being able to watch them all the time at home, but there is nothing like seeing Star Wars on the big screen.
Absolutely.
It just, like, I have seen Return of the Jedi, I don't know how many times. Like, I have lost count, especially the original trilogy and the prequels. I don't know how many times I have seen those movies. And every opportunity I get to see it in the theaters, I take. Because it's just different. Did you see it?
I did not see Return of the Jedi
this time around. Okay.
No, I did not. I don't think the schedule really lined up with the showing time.
It was a weird schedule, and it was also right after we got back from London. It was like a week or two after we got back from London, so like the timing was a little weird.
Yeah, I think it was a little worked out at that point.
I know Dennis saw it. I'm not sure if Matt, I want to say Matt saw it. I think Matt and Dan went and saw it, but I'm not sure. I'm not positive on that. We'll have to ask them. And then, one of the last things I wanted to mention other than that was the big, Hasbro does this thing called a HasLab where it's a crowdfunding thing. And, you know, like you get so many people to commit to buying it, and then they produce it, and they decided to do the ghost from Rebels/Ahsoka as their project. And of course it got backed, and I believe every member of Jawa Jabber has one pre-ordered. Is that correct, Kyle? I'm pretty sure. I think we all
yeah
I'm pretty sure. Now almost we're not going to get it till I'm pretty sure, because Dennis, Matt, Dan, me, you, I think we all did it. I'm really excited for that. Not that I have room for it. I don't have room for anything that I have pre-ordered. but you know, that's okay. I'll, you know, eventually I'll get more room in my collection and I'll be able to display everything, because I currently cannot do it. All right, Kyle, before we wrap up, is there anything Star Wars specific, or I mean, I guess even life specific, that you're looking forward to in 2024? Like, that you're jonesing for? I know we have a couple shows coming out. We've got Skeleton Crew, Acolyte.
I know they showed it. Tales of the Jedi too.
Oh, yes. Oh, how did I forget about Tales of the Jedi? Oh, I love Tales of the Jedi. I've rewatched that a bunch of times too.
Yeah, me too. I like the more like the short form content, but the Acolyte is definitely what that's gonna be my most anticipated Star Wars project 2024 beyond. I'm really excited for that show.
I agree. The stuff they showed us at Celebration blew me away. I believe I talked about that on our Celebration episode. Like, I was just I really didn't know anything about it, and just the little tidbits that they showed really intrigued me, and I'm very, very excited for that one. And I'm also excited that our buddy Jonas gets to be another character and gets to be a Jedi. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I'm stoked for him. That's awesome.
Yeah. I just hope, you know, I just hope 2024 is a great year. It's going to be a great year for Star Wars. It's going to be a great year for us here at Jawa Jabber. It's just going to, I hope the best for everyone, for all of our listeners, and for, you know, us, the Loft Pack, of course, you know, the Sandcrawler, whatever we want to call ourselves. It's really great that, you know, we can take this time to reflect on the past year and look forward to the year to come. I mean, that's going to do it for tonight's episode. That's all we have left to talk about. Kyle, thank you for taking some time out of your busy New Year's to spend some time here on the podcast.
Spreading our own little slice of positivity throughout the galaxy. From the prequels to the sequels,
we're gonna wrap things up here tonight.
We're here to celebrate.
We're gonna get on a
favorite galaxy together.
A semi-regular release schedule, and we will be releasing that content to you sooner rather than later. Maybe in another week or so, once we kind of figure out all the scheduling details. But we're gonna have a lot of content coming up this year in 2024. We have February 7th is Star Wars Podcast Day, and we're going to have a very special episode on that day to look forward to. So, you know, keep your eyes on our Facebook, our Instagram, our Twitter. You know, tell your friends, bring more of your friends together to listen to Star Wars, because it happened to us and it can happen to you too. You can meet some of the best friends of your life because of Star Wars. So that's going to do it for tonight's episode. For Matt the Radar Technician, Dennis the Phantom Menace, Kai Nobi, I am your Supreme Leader, David Wren. Thank you very much for listening. Happy New Year, and may the Force be with you always.